WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guests, Gene Roberts and Tom Kunkel, say that the American newspaper industry is in the middle of the most momentous change in its 300-year history, a change that is diminishing the amount of real news available to the consumer. This is the result of the corporatization of the industry, which is culminating in a blitz of buying, selling, and consolidating of newspapers from the mightiest dailies to the humblest weeklies. The pressure to increase profits is affecting what stories get covered and how they get covered. Roberts and Kunkel are the editors of the new book Leaving Readers Behind, The Age of Corporate Newspapering. Roberts is the former executive editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer, former managing editor of the New York Times, and is now a professor at the University of Maryland College of Journalism. Tom Kunkel is the dean of the College of Journalism, the publisher of the American Journalism Review, and former deputy managing editor of the San Jose Mercury News. One of the current newspaper trends is clustering, where one company buys several papers in one region. This can cut down on publishing costs, allow the consolidation of management, and cut down on staff through pool reporting. For example, one reporter might cover state politics for several different papers. I asked Kunkel if this type of pool coverage is becoming typical.
It is typical, and it may mean in some cases that a company might actually bring more resources to, say, state government coverage. But more typically what happens is that it has the effect of reducing the number of reporters, say, at a state house. If you look at a state like New Jersey, for instance, two companies, the Newhouse Company and the Gannett Company, now own between them 14 of the 19 or so newspapers in the state. They have between them 75% of the daily circulation in the state. Now, you know, whatever you think about those two companies, you know, when you have this situation where fewer companies operate more newspapers, they consider that they don't need as many people to cover the state house or to cover a sports franchise or whatever. And so you end up with fewer people on the ground typically, and therefore the reader suffers because he doesn't have as much coverage at his or her disposal.
Well, but maybe it's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe, like, the best of the reporters are the ones covering sports and state politics now, so even the readers in the more mediocre papers will have the advantage of, you know, the best reporter on the beat. What would be wrong with that?
Well, in that event, I mean, that's fine to have better people doing it. But in general, you know, without talking about the specific qualities of an individual involved, in general, we're talking about situations where competition gets reduced and there are fewer people on the ground. And so the odds are that what happens is that certain stories don't get covered. It may be that one or two people are doing a very good job covering certain stories, but maybe 10 years ago there were six or eight people trying to cover the same story. So more stories got written, there was more competition, there was more of an effort to develop sources there.
And better localization of the news.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
Typically, in, say, a state legislature, a bill will have widespread effect. And if you're localizing the coverage of it, the writer will explain exactly how this proposed legislation would affect the writer's hometown newspaper, and thus the readers, and the news is thereby closer to the readers, makes more sense to them, has more application to their lives. And if when newspapers start setting up their own mini wire services, they essentially end up duplicating the Associated Press and other wire services as opposed to writing specifically for their readers in their area of circulation.
Are there new types of corporations that are getting into the newspaper business, that are buying up newspapers without any experience running newspapers?
Yes. In fact, that's one of the things that we document in our series that I think a lot of people, even in the business, didn't realize. Two of the biggest newspaper chains that today exist 5 years ago did not exist. These were sort of instant chains, as you will, business interests that decided they wanted to go into newspapers and started buying up properties around the country. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but these are interests that really have no experience or expertise in newspapers, and so it sort of makes you wonder what their motivations are. Well, in fact, we know that their motivations are financial. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, except that they don't have any real experience in terms of what quality newspaper content means, why it's important.
Are there more bottom-line pressures now than in the past? Gene Roberts, I'd be interested in your opinion of that, you know, as former executive editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer, former managing editor of the New York Times. You've been in the newspaper business a long time. What are the bottom-line pressures now compared to, say, the 80s?
More and more newspaper corporations are now publicly held. That is, their stock corporations, and many are traded on Wall Street. And this brings pressure from analysts if they want to keep their stock price up. And now newspaper chains own more than 75% of all the 1,500 daily newspapers in America. And most of those corporations are public.
Do you think editors are being asked to do things that they weren't asked to do in the past because of financial pressures to cut costs and increase circulation?
Oh, they definitely are. And in fact, a lot of them have left because they reached the point where they realize that they're no longer doing the things that they loved, why they got in the business, which is to say journalism. And they spend virtually all their time, you know, over spreadsheets trying to make decisions about how many pages to cut out of the news hole because they're over budget, or how many positions they have to leave open in their newsroom or lose because they're being pressed to, you know, bring their expenses down. And increasingly they're frustrated because it doesn't take that much of a spur in the economy to trigger those sorts of reactions from their corporate bosses. So it's a very frustrating situation for editors. They're in a very difficult place today.
I know that there's a lot of pressure on editors now to make budget cuts and even to cut certain coverage in the newspaper in an attempt to save money. Is there also pressure to boost certain aspects of the coverage in the belief that boosting that coverage would help increase circulation?
In general, there's a belief that sports coverage helps and business coverage helps. And I don't question that. And I think the one upside of the trends we're talking about today is that sports and business sections in most American newspapers have gotten better. But in many cases, rather than put fresh money into this, they simply cut it out of other areas of news coverage. So you have a general diminishment of coverage. In some towns, there's one Maryland town in particular I'm thinking of, news cutbacks have been so serious that in this town, the police reporter can no longer find the time to go to the police station to get the news. So the newspaper put a fax machine in the police station, and the police now decide what news coverage you're going to get out of the police department, and they select the stories and put them on the fax machine. And if there's one that they find embarrassing or so forth, then this is the price you have to pay for this kind of budget cut.
Why was the police reporter too busy to actually go to police headquarters and report on the police?
Because he was covering all the surrounding counties. They had gotten rid of other newspaper reporters and put all the burden on this one reporter. And he literally was so busy making phone calls to so many coverage areas he had responsibility for that he just didn't have time to get in his car and go to the police station.
Gene Roberts, is the profit margin at newspapers expected to be higher now than it was in the past? Does that have to do with the pressure to make more money now, or is it just that circulation's down, so it's harder to make
no,
money?
No, it's distinct pressure for higher profits, and they're already among the highest of any American industry. Last year, for example, the typical public newspaper company made almost 22% operating profit. That is, of every dollar that goes on into the cash register, the company hangs on to 22 cents. The auto companies in America don't make even a fifth as much in terms of operating profits as newspapers do.
So in your estimation, some of the owners of newspapers have unreasonable profit expectations?
Yes, and especially in economic downturns. Newspapers are extremely sensitive to the economy because if people aren't buying, then merchants aren't advertising, and because advertising makes up a big percentage of the revenue, this creates a problem for newspapers. And increasingly, rather than just settle for, say, 19% operating profit as opposed to 22%, what they do is cut back space and cut back manpower in newsrooms, and suddenly the reader is getting a diminished newspaper.
You know, many newspapers have used this current bit of trouble to, for instance, kill their local Sunday news, their local Sunday magazine. There now are fewer than 20, maybe only a dozen or so newspapers in the country that have their own Sunday supplement. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, survey after survey, you know, readers say they really like their Sunday magazines. But because the companies look at them as cost centers unto themselves, you know, they make very inviting targets when times get a little tough, and so they knife them. But that's another piece of the paper that the consumers like that they don't have anymore. And, you know, it's just incredibly short-sighted.
If newspapers run at such a high profit margin, Gene Roberts, you were saying 22%, why would a newspaper want to sell?
Because they make those kind of profit margins, they have been getting record offers for the papers from people who want to buy them. And in many cases, especially cases where the papers are locally owned, this may be the fourth generation or the fifth generation of that family that owns the paper. So you have a lot of cousins, a lot of ownership interests that have been, frankly, they may not be quite so interested in the operation of the paper anymore, and they're interested in cashing out. And there's never been a better time to cash out because the papers are going for such tremendously high multiples right now. And so there's just too much money at stake.
My guests are Tom Kunkel and Gene Roberts, editors of the new book Leaving Readers Behind, The Age of Corporate Newspapering. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guests are Tom Kunkel and Gene Roberts, editors of the new book Leaving Readers Behind, The Age of Corporate Newspapering. And this book is a result of their project, The Project on the State of the American Newspaper. Let's look at the newspapers that you used to work at and see how they're doing now. Gene Roberts, you were the executive editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer. You left there in 1990. How many years had you been in that position?
I had been in it 18 years.
And you left because of budget cuts?
That, I would say, was the principal reason. Not just budget cuts, but the general climate. In general, every year for about 5 years in succession, it had gotten tougher and tougher to negotiate a reasonable budget for the newsroom. And it finally reached a point that they didn't want to discuss what the budget of a newsroom would be. They simply wanted to figure out how much profit they wanted to make and give you a certain percentage of that profit. And it was almost totally by the numbers and was not a result of a meaningful discussion about what the paper ought to be doing.
One of the things you were known for when you were the editor at the Inquirer was the investigative pieces and the number of Pulitzer Prizes that those pieces won. I think there were, 17 Pulitzer Prizes during your years as executive editor?
Yes, that's right.
And this is for a paper that had never won a Pulitzer before you got there. Correct me if I'm wrong. So investigative pieces tend to cost a lot of money because you have one or more reporters, usually more than one, working on a story for a long period of time without being able to publish until the investigation is through. Were you kind of forced to cut down on investigative work because of bottom line concerns?
I had not at the time I left, but if the trend had continued, I would have been forced to do that. And I think a good newspaper just simply has to have complicated news stories in it at times, like investigative stories. If not, what you're telling the reader is we cover the easy news. If it's expensive or hard to get, then we don't cover that. And that is no way to run a newspaper.
Tom Kunkel, you were deputy managing editor at the San Jose Mercury News. Were there bottom line pressures on you in that position?
Yeah, it's a wonderful paper, and it was a wonderful paper when I was there, and I enjoyed working there. But one of the reasons I left was exactly the sorts of things that Gene is talking about, and in fact, it was about the same time. This was the first time after a record run-up out in San Jose that in the early 90s where the paper was really forced to have to look at its spending, to cut back on staff, on space, on travel, and things like that. It was not something they were accustomed to doing. I had to do it at other places, so unfortunately I was pretty good at it. But it's sort of a soul-draining, dispiriting exercise because you have so much pride and talent in a place like that that nobody wants to do a worse job. I mean, you want to do these things but still keep the paper as good as it is. And so, you know, you end up putting these enormous demands on yourself and your reporters and your editors trying to do just as good a job with less space, less time, and fewer people. And it's exhausting.
One of the things that has changed for newspaper readers is that they don't rely on newspapers for breaking news in the way that they once did. You get the breaking news a lot quicker on radio and TV, particularly now with the proliferation of all news TV stations as well as radio stations. How do you think that needs to be addressed by newspapers? Do you think that newspapers have to redefine their mission and focus on maybe a deeper version of the news instead of covering just the breaking aspect of the news?
Yeah, I think detail is very important because on television you just get the surface, the quick in and out. And people will go to newspapers for more detail, more nuance. And unfortunately, given the current attitudes on newspapers, detail takes space and takes manpower to supply. And the very things that make a newspaper special are among the first things to go in a budget crunch. And it's quite disturbing, I think, for the future of newspapers and for society as well.
Something else that has changed recently for newspapers is websites. A lot of newspapers have invested a lot of money in having good websites, both for the daily paper, for the archives of the paper, and for supplements to the daily paper, additional breaking news stories as they happen. But a lot of things on the internet aren't panning out the way people expected. At this point, are most newspapers losing money or making money or gaining readers through the websites? How are newspapers thinking about their investments in their websites now?
Well, they're still trying to sort out whether they think the online is their enemy or their friend, their future or their demise. But I think for the most part, they realize that it's a wonderful opportunity. And in fact, the current shakeout of the dot-com industry at large has been a boon to newspapers because newspapers have the local franchise and they have the financial backing to hang in there and to get people who do get their news online accustomed to going to their site to find out what's going on. So it can be, we think it can be a very good thing for newspapers if they recognize it as a tool. But it is just that it's a tool. It's almost less important whether, what the delivery method of a story is. What's more important is what's in the story itself. So, tomorrow you're going to be able to get a story online or in your paper or whatever, And some people, you know, are going to prefer one method over the other. But what's important is that the story be there.
I think there's been a lot of kind of fear about the new media. Well, like, will they hurt or will they harm the existing media? Do you think that the new media is adding a lot of pressure to reporters? Are reporters having to take on putting material on the internet in addition to their responsibilities reporting for the newspaper? Are reporters? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, it does put a lot of pressure on them, and a lot of them are worried about it. I mean, many reporters appreciate that that online is a wonderful opportunity in a sense. But on the other hand, what you're asking them to do, for instance, whoever was covering the execution of Timothy McVeigh, which was 8 o'clock on the East Coast, I mean, they had to file instantly for their online operations, and that's fine. But this is, and then they would have to file updates, and these are the kinds of things that they didn't used to have to do. And I think a lot of reporters are feeling rather pressed that they have to meet the demands of online. They don't have the time to really dig into the story the way they might like.
Well, I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Our pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Tom Kunkel and Gene Roberts are the editors of Leaving Readers Behind. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.